Running a business shouldn't feel like surviving a software group project. One app for accounting, another for inventory, another for sales, and somehow none of them talk to each other. That's where Odoo comes in, an all-in-one business management software that brings every part of your business together, from sales and accounting to inventory and marketing, all in one powerful platform. No messy integrations, no bouncing between tabs, and best of all, no spreadsheets. Stop managing software and start managing your business with one unified system. Try for free today at odoo.com/iHeartRadio. That's odoo.com/iHeartRadio.
This Father's Day at Lowe's, we have extra big deals for a very limited time, so you can get Dad the gift he's been wishing for. Get a free select Craftsman, DeWalt, or Kobalt battery when you buy a select combo kit. Plus, save $90 on a Kobalt 24-volt battery string trimmer and leaf blower combo kit. Now $129. Our best lineup is here at Lowe's. Valid through 6/15 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.
Transform your home in 1 weekend and save big money at Menards. Protect and enjoy your outdoor living space with Thompson's semi-transparent wood sealer. It maintains wood's natural color and provides durable year-round protection from water and sun damage in just one coat. Save big money on Thompson's water seal products. Our knowledgeable team is ready to help bring your dreams to life 1 gallon at a time. Stop by your local Menards today.
Save big money at Menards.
This is Hidden Killers Live with Tony Bruschi and Robin Green.
Well, as of our recording here this morning in our live broadcast, Rex Uhrman has pled guilty to 8 murders. 8, yes. They added on another one, and he said he did it. Today, we're going to dive into not necessarily the details of the murders, but more so what it's like to be around someone like a Rex Uhrman for a good chunk of your life, maybe be married to him, maybe have him as a father, and still not know anything. Imagine finding out the person that you've shared a bed with for nearly 3 decades, the father of your child, the man who rescued you from a bad marriage, is accused of being a serial killer, and your hair is found on his alleged victims. That's Asa Elrib's reality. But here's what most people get stuck on. And we heard the questions asked this morning. And in a few moments, we'll take a look at a clip that Asa made a statement outside of the courthouse after Rex made his confessions to the court. Somebody shouting out, how do you not know? How does someone allegedly commit acts of extreme violence inside your own home over the course of nearly 2 decades while you're raising children and going about your life just rooms away? We're not here to accuse her. We're not doing that at all. We're more so diving into the psychology of how this is even possible. Because it is. This is not something that is impossible to have happen. And it may not be exactly how one may picture it on the outside, either. To help us do that, as always, Robin Drake, my co-host, chief of the Counterintelligence Behavioral Analysis Program of the FBI, is here. And Siobhan Scott, psychotherapist and author, and her latest book, Nightbird. It's right here.
No better person for today than Siobhan. And this book is the greatest tome on how to deal with truly unhealthy people and the lessons learned. So I think this is so perfect lineup, Tony. Great job.
Wherever you are getting your books, go get this one. Okay, so let's start at the top here. Asa has said she believes she would have known if something was wrong. This is prior to his admission. This is in some of the docs that have been done about this. 50 Cent did his. And in that doc at that moment in time, which is about a year ago now, she was still very much on Team Rex. Her daughter was starting to crack. Her daughter was starting to see, yeah, I think it might be him. I think he might have done this. But she was still talking about him as her hero. It's a very different story today. But that's what she said, that she believes she would have known if something was wrong, that she didn't see the signs. So they must not have been there. Siobhan, I mean, from a psychological standpoint, is that kind of certainty from a form of self-protection? Maybe if we were to look back, or maybe if she is to look back or does, I'm sure she's been running the last 20-some years through her mind over and over and over, and maybe she is spotting some things, but we don't always see those in those exact moments. How does the mind actually build that wall without the person realizing that there's something amiss going on right in front of us?
It's incredible the way the brain works, isn't it? It's so complicated. Yeah. But the brain, and this is true for all of us, the brain can filter out and just not see things that are right in front of us if it threatens our identity or threatens our sense of security. And if we examined all of our histories under a microscope, we can probably all find little, not that we were living with serial killers, but we can find little things that in hindsight, we look back and say, how could I not have seen that at the time? You know, I certainly can say that in my own relationships. How couldn't I see that? I have a term for it. I don't know that if it's my original term or I read it somewhere way back, but I love it. I call it, it's like a negative hallucination, you know, because hallucinations are things you see that aren't there. And that's a trick of the brain. And a negative hallucination is when there's something right in front of you and it's just as if the blinders on and you don't see it. And yes, people have a huge capacity to delude themselves because it threatens the story that they need to survive.
Yeah, so Siobhan, I mean, this is such a compelling story on her, you know, her background and what's going on in her life. And like you said, it becomes part of the identity and we identify with those things that we obligate ourselves verbally and it becomes part of who we are. And then she doubles down, Asa did, double down on he's my hero. And I imagine she is probably quadrupling down on this because she wanted to believe it so bad. So what happens now to her? What's going on in her mind when her, in her own words, her hero, when her hero falls? And not just falls because he was convicted, because that's a different thing. He admitted it.
Yeah.
So what do you think is going on in her brain? What does she need right now to recover, if she's even able to recover
from
this?
If she's able to. Yeah, I think she's a psychologically very fragile woman, but she has had some time over the last couple of years to adjust to this to some degree. And maybe the denial has started to crack gradually. So is it a complete surprise at this point? I hope she's been getting some counseling. I hope she gets more because this could absolutely crush her, you know, and just change her entire world, obviously, and her sense of who she is. It was interesting. I rewatched portions last night of the documentary on the Gilgo Beach murders, where they interviewed her quite extensively. And when they were asking her questions about this, she would close her eyes and then repeat, no, 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 this is not possible. And I'm not always a body language reading expert, but sometimes it's so obvious, you know, and it was just that closing the eyes,
blocking.
I am not going to see it. I'm blocking it out. Yeah.
That on the surface, when we watch this, we're not her, obviously. It looks obvious. It looks like someone, I mean, like you say, you're not a body language reading expert. You don't have to be one for that. I mean, it's just happening in real time. Mm-hmm. But I mean, is that almost comparable to I almost want to say someone with like a Tourette's of some sort, where they're sometimes unaware and unable to control tics and things that go on, where it's like Well, that's pretty obvious. You're literally sitting here emoting, saying no, 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 no. Mm-hmm. But I mean, when she looks back on when she's how she's processing things, I'm guessing that no, 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 no never kind of makes the final cut of review, because that would challenge her identity and her sense of security. Is she even aware that she's doing those sort of things?
I'm sure not. Not conscious of it at all. And that was one of the most striking things. The other thing that was so striking to me is how, in the documentary, it showed her having a phone call with him from jail and how she lit up. And it was so good to talk to him. Yeah. And it was all, I love you. And then she, as they edited it, she went into how tall, dark, and handsome he was, which is not the way the rest of the world looks at the man, but at what a catch he was and how he had rescued her from a bad situation. And it just has a quality of, she's so out of reality. This woman is not well herself. There's just a lot wrong.
Do you think that was a Nightingale effect there, where, she saw him as the savior, and so she just idolized the savior for the rest of her life?
Yes, very much, very much. And probably has a lot of dependent qualities. I can't say for sure, not meeting her, but she needed him. She really needed him on many levels, financially, emotionally. And predators find people like that. They're very good at sniffing out vulnerable people and people who need to be rescued. And that's how they swoop in and sort of take over and dominate their lives.
You know who's coming to mind? And it's actually coming up in our next segment. Kendra Duggar. Yeah. She reminds me a lot of Kendra Duggar.
Yes.
Of the phone calls that she's having right now with Joseph. And how she's, so sweet. And she's talking to him like he's just the sweetest thing since cherry pie. Mm-hmm. Or Patti LaBelle's sweet potato pie, which, by the way, is pretty good. oh, my own. Okay, we're not doing karaoke.
Crazy Wednesdays with Tony.
But I mean, it is a lot like that. And what's interesting about this is over in Duggarville, which again we'll get to in our next segment, is basically a cult for all intents and purposes, the IBLP and all that. You don't always need religion to control people.
Very true.
And it, in a lot of ways, Huerman and his control over Asa, her belief system, her standing by her man, her kids not really seeing it until it's way, way too late. These were all levers of control that Rex was able to pull over their heads without, as far as we know, any sort of religious, pretense to it. Let's speak about that a little bit, because sometimes people dive into that, those religious beliefs and those extreme beliefs. Out of necessity, out of this is the way we have to live. We have to have this as part of it. No, I mean, ultimately, it all goes back to one thing, whether it's religion and IBLP and Bill Gothard or Rex Huerman, fear. Fear and control.
Fear and control. And I know in my first marriage, which happened at 16, I met him when I was 15. I was very, very desperate kid. I had a very unhappy home life, a lot of trauma in the family, multi-generational trauma. And in my family, I was told at 18, you're on your own. You're out of here at 18. So there was no support for how do you go to college. I was trying to get my first job in an ice cream store, scooping ice cream at 15 and a half, because I was going to have to support myself. And so not only did I have the layer of religion, I also had, I don't know how I'm going to live in the world. I really don't know how to, 15-year-olds don't know how they're going to make it in the world yet. And so that was one factor when I met this 25-year-old man who wanted to swoop in and be the authority, meaning the father figure for me. And he had a good job in a steel mill of all things, but he made a good living and I could just get married and have kids and I would be taken care of. And of course, as I grew up, that was not what I wanted and that was not a fit for me. But when you're desperate and you don't know how to survive on your own, it doesn't take religion for people to be exploited you know, in that vulnerability.
I know, 15 years old, and you couldn't feel safe at home, so you sought it someplace else. I mean, that is such a tragic story that so many are exposed to and don't even realize. That's why, again, I'm pumping your book, because it's such a good roadmap for other people seeing it. Going back to this, and to Tony's point, you know, when relating to Duggar's this, the other thing that's hitting me is Victoria, the daughter. You know, so here's someone that actually was open-minded to the fact that her father could be doing this. And when we go to the Duggars, and you know, it's that isolation from these cults which keeps them insulated from those outside opinions, because we were talking last time with Siobhan about how Jill was able to get objectivity in here because she married someone that was religious but outside the umbrella of IBLP, right? And so same thing here, I would imagine. So Siobhan, I'm curious if you saw that too. So you have the wife, Asa, who is inoculated against the outside world because she really, by her choice, it looks like, she doesn't want to even look outside the house. It's all just Rex, 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 Rex. But now you have a daughter who is groomed into this house because she's in the house, right? But you go to school, you have outside influences, you see other people's homes. And so you see your house, which looks normal to Asa, because that's all she's seen, because we don't see her or have heard of her, and just from the special, again, it's a small capsule of her life, but not really getting outside that sphere very much, but you can imagine the kids do. And so when the kids see that outside and you see incongruence between the world and our house, and you're like, oh, that's a weird possibility. So is that possible? That, and then also what's going through her mind right now, you think?
Yeah, the more external information that a person gets, the more they're going to be able to slide into reality here. And I think it's I think it's incredibly speaks well of her development that she can, and as she started to acknowledge that maybe this was true, maybe it happened, and exposure to the outside world and people who are more grounded in reality really is therapeutic.
I love that. You got so many good phrases that I love that slides into reality. That's a good one.
When we're talking about, you know, this whole thing of what she's doing right now, trying to process this, trying to ground herself in what reality is, because for the longest time, believing that her husband, Rex Heuermann, was in fact the Gilgo Beach killer, that certainly threatened her identity and her sense of security. Do we manufacture stories that we tell ourselves when you're in that sort of a situation to help back up that lack of critical thinking, that lack of taking a broader look at the evidence, or is it just kind of a void? I'm curious about it because I'm wondering if you tell yourself so many stories that may be manufactured in your mind, it's got to be easier than sometimes to rely on some of those, and those manufactured thoughts then could also reinforce that reality that is a lot safer than the actual reality of who Rex actually is. Do you think that Asa had done some of that? Do people do that in general in these sort of situations?
Run that by me again.
Manufacturing almost alternate realities.
Definitely.
About who these people are.
Yes, definitely. Completely alternate realities. And you saw that in the interview with her where they were showing the wedding pictures and she was just glowing about, I think she used the phrase, something like, paraphrasing here, I was so happy to finally have him, because she had a crush on him for several years. And, you know, I can't imagine. Maybe he played Prince Charming a little bit in the beginning, but I can't imagine all these years that they were together, he treated her all that well.
Yeah.
But this was her story, and this was what allowed her to relax in the world and feel safe. And so, yes, she clung to it. And it will be interesting. Of course, we'd all love to sit down and have a long conversation with her now. What kind of shifts are happening? And is she starting to look at that history differently? It would be wonderful if she were.
I want to play this. This is her this morning. This is just moments ago as of our recording. This is Asa outside of the courthouse right after her husband Rex Heuermann admitted to 8 murders and being the Gilgo Beach killer. Here's Asa.
Okay. I can't see her.
No questions?
Okay. No questions.
My thoughts and prayers are with the victims and their families. Their loss is immeasurable. And the focus should be on them at this time and moment. I ask that you give some privacy to my family as they navigate through this very difficult time.
How did you not see what he was? How did you not see what he had done? You were living with him.
The district attorney's office has thoroughly investigated these crimes, okay? It has been proven.
You were living in the same house with him.
She was away. She was away each and every occasion. We've answered this 1,000 times, okay?
Why even make a statement?
That's my question, too.
I guess why? What's the point? She's already said this 1,000 times. Why not just issue something through your attorney? Why are you going on camera? Why are you saying anything? I'm not saying she has anything to do with this, but I'm saying quit giving people bait, I guess, if you have nothing to do with this. Mm-hmm. What do you think there? I mean, after watching that, what's your reaction to that?
I think the press is going to hold on to that forever just because of what we're talking about. It's hard to understand. But yes, the question has been asked and answered many times. Yeah. And, you know, I think it was probably good that she didn't respond to it because there's nothing else she can say. And obviously, this guy was a planner. We know from everything they found in his creepy writings. He planned every detail. He planned every detail. So it's quite reasonable to assume at this point that he planned meticulously to hide what he was doing and to time this when she was away. I mean, it's weird. The whole thing is weird. But, you know, it does, in essence, make sense.
She seems to be so susceptible to information coming in that Rex was giving her, you know, almost like he hypnotized her, you know, because, you know, when hypnotists are, you know, taking advantage of people and implanting thoughts and ideas, they put them in a susceptible mindset, you know. And so do you think she came into the relationship with that susceptibility, or is it something that he did himself along the route that made her like completely compliant with his thoughts, ideas, and what he said was is?
My guess is that's why he chose her. She was someone who had vulnerabilities coming out of a very bad divorce. I mean, she was probably very broken emotionally at that time. And I do think predators sense who can be easily manipulated. And he would not have chosen a strong woman.
Right.
He would have chosen a fragile woman. And probably from the get-go, she was easy to romance, easy to coerce, easy to control. And this is definitely going to be something that, you know, hopefully she can understand more about herself and do some growth here.
I'm curious, a follow-up to that, Siobhan. So in the special, it almost made it sound like she pursued him. Mm-hmm. Do you think that's actually the truth of what actually happened, or did he pursue her because he did see her as a victim? Or do you think it was mutual?
Probably mutual. Probably she, as she said, tall, dark, and handsome, and he was charming. And
it's like, that's the only one who'll say that to me my entire life. I've got to grab onto that.
Grab.
Yeah. I got a winner here. Yeah. Oh my God, winner, chicken dinner.
So
I'm not an ogre.
Yeah, they're kind of like Legos that just fit together, and people like that often find each other.
Two nutters right in the side of each other there.
God, that would be a weird Lego set, wouldn't it?
Yeah. Oh, my God.
I bet AI could make that.
AI could.
Things we can create with AI. Anyway, your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube. The links are in the description. We'd love for you to weigh in on the latest in this case. We will keep watching it and diving deeper into all this on the feed right now. By the way, there is we have a 7-part series. I'm going to have to make it 8 because of now there's the 8th victim that has been identified, or that he has admitted to taking the life of. But this week we're taking a deeper look at all of their lives and what led them to two wrecks, Heuermann or Red-led wrecks to them, depending on the situation, and the failures in investigative work that led to where we are today. Why it took all of these years to figure out who did these horrific crimes. It's in the feed. Press subscribe and check it out so you don't miss it.
And I want to double down on that too, yeah. Tony. You know, I love the focus on the victims in this, and regardless of people's background, where they come from or anything, in every single one of these crimes, especially when you're dealing with crimes against women, focusing on the victims' families, and getting that kind of notice there is so important to help prevent these things, because it is so important and tragic, especially when someone pleads like this. We're not going to hear those stories nearly as much, so thanks for doing that.
Yeah, definitely. We'll keep telling the stories because they deserve to be heard. Let's move over to another fine group of folks. Duggars.
I'm so in love and it's such horrible things.
I have, like, I need to take a break from these people because I can't. My God, it gets weirder, it gets darker, all that. Kendra Duggar was raised inside the religious system that built her husband's, or a similar system. It wasn't IBLP, it was another very strict religious system, but as we are learning, a bit different, actually a bit more grounded in reality, believe it or not. She married Joseph Duggar at barely 18, had four children by 27, and by all available accounts, lived the life she was trained to live, obedient, domestic, deeply embedded in a community that told her exactly who to be. She's now facing 18 misdemeanor charges, or eight misdemeanor charges in Arkansas. Her children have been removed from her custody, and investigators reportedly found locked on the outside of the children's bedroom doors. Her husband allegedly admitted twice to a nine-year-old on a family vacation 6 years ago. We're also learning behind the scenes, can't quite confirm it yet, that this child, who is now about 14 or 15 years old, may be very, very, very closely connected to Kendra. It might not just be a family friend. It might be a lot more than that. Kendra Duggar may have known nothing. She may have known something and had no framework to understand it. And I think that's where we're going to enter this, is the framework to understand, the framework to know what is going on around you. There's something I've learned in researching the IBLP over the last month and the Duggars, is when there's something kind of nasty, something that that you don't want people to sit with and stew on and contemplate and go, this is odd, they just don't give it a word. It just doesn't exist in the lexicon. And they find ways around it, and of almost toxic positivity. There's a toxic positivity of reframing so many different things, of the horrible actions towards minors and things of that nature. And I want to caution everybody on the terms and the words that we use here, because we're on YouTube and we don't want to get flagged. In the interest of getting the message across, we'll use different words. But the fact that these things don't even enter the lexicon of people in the IBLP, of families who practice this, how much more difficult does that make then for people who are entrenched in it? Kendra's a different case. Kendra married into it. She's seeing some of it. But like the Duggars, the 19 kids who knew this stuff from birth, all the people around these folks, how difficult is it then to identify red flags when you don't even have words for it?
Yeah, it's incredibly hard, and it makes sense that for many of them, it's impossible. Mm-hmm. And if you're taught that obedience and submission are everything, and you've been raised or married into that cult, and you take on the mindset, submission is virtue. And mm-hmm. they raise the children that, you know, we're going to cause you pain, we're going to inflict pain on you until you submit. Mm-hmm. And you've got the hierarchy with, you know, father, husband at the top, basically in this godlike position. And then when you marry, your husband takes that role. Mm-hmm. And yeah, they don't have a language for abuse. They don't have boundaries. They don't understand that they're supposed to have boundaries. They don't know what that means. And if you're taught that your instincts are wrong, you don't learn how to listen to them. And you may not even have the instinct that kicks in that something is harmful or something is bad.
Yeah. So, Siobhan, here's my question about the dynamic of this, because we don't know, like Tony was saying, the background of the girl that Joseph's accused of abusing, but it sounds like it's possibly related to Kendra, you know, and Kendra's family. So what I'm curious about is this. How does someone get we understand how someone like Kendra gets drawn into the Duggar clan, you know, under the umbrella, and it all gets filtered down through this pyramid structure of control, and the fear factor of getting outside the umbrella of control when things like this happen. But how did that supplant, especially since the family's obviously, if this is all true, went on vacation together. So the families must have been close enough, and Kendra had enough religious background to be accepted by IBLP. So how does she get drawn from the umbrella of her own father, of her own parents, of that own protection into the Duggars and not get drawn back when crazy hits?
Yeah, we don't know enough about what she was raised with, and it could be that it was similar enough, you know, in structure and hierarchy, that the whole Duggar thing was a fairly good fit for her because there were similarities, and the ability to not see is striking. To deny it when it happens. Or as I said last week when we talked, very often to frame it that it was a seductive child, you know, that is responsible for this.
It's really interesting. I've been diving into the IBLP and looking at how they structure, how they manipulate, how they coercively control their members, and you know, call it, you know, God's layers of protection and umbrellas and all their bullshit. And also on the same note, learning more about the personal structure on a granular level, from various reporting on the internets. So we'll leave it at that, of what's been going on behind the scenes here. And it looks like there's been a fracture for quite some time with this family, with Kendra's family and the Duggars. And because remember, these allegations go back to 2020. So we're talking, you know, quite a few years ago now, believe it or not. 2020 is 6 years ago. But the fact that we see that, and then we see a bit of a rift, and then we see a lot of what tells me, and again, this is my this is me looking at the situation going, if someone wanted to coercively control somebody and maybe prevent someone from talking or speaking out or doing this, you're going to make threats, you're going to do this. And if we start to look deeper at what was going on behind the scenes, there seems to be a bit of that going on. Now, I'm not saying it's connected. I'm not saying that we know for sure or any of that. But it sure as hell looks like there was some things going on behind the scenes with some of the members of the Duggar family and Kendra's family, very much alienating Kendra into maybe alienating is the right word, but I guess further compacting her into the trash heap that is the Duggars, and keeping her, I guess, further away from the thinking of maybe her own family that may have been calling some of this out, that may have been saying, red flag over here. This is kind of weird. This is not okay. This should be reported. This should stop. This is your own family. And then allegedly Kendra still, you know, going along with the Duggars. And I'm not faulting her for it. It's an insanely confusing place to be for someone to be torn by your two families that you're a part of, and then you mix God into the religion and eternal damnation if you pick the wrong door to go down. I mean, it's a battle for control with a lot of spirituality mixed in. I guess speak to that a little bit about how organizations like this, how people who are so deeply religious in a toxic way use all of those levers to control the people around them. And when they're no longer able to control them, what do they do with them?
Well, when you're no longer following the script, you are punished in some way. Mm-hmm. And there's probably a million subtle and not so subtle ways you can be punished. And, you know, I think it's, people's identity becomes fused with the group. Mm-hmm. And that's the one of the hallmarks of a cult is you lose your ability to think and you lose your ability to have a sense that you're a separate human being entitled to have your own thoughts. People are literally punished for answering questions. They're punished for independent thinking. And when you're married to someone who has authority over you and you've bought into that system, it's very hard to challenge it, even when you have other family members that are challenging it or encouraging you to look at things differently. It's sort of like you repeat the story over and over and over in your head because thinking and analyzing is dangerous.
Kind of like Asa Alrup in our other story.
Yeah, a lot of similarities.
And again, just that power of language they use because, you know, we're using our objective analysis of what they're doing for control, fear, intimidation, but those aren't the words they were using. The emotional reaction was, but they keep going back to this thing, you just confessed to us, and you didn't do a violation against a little child. You were, you know, you had a moral failing. And then in order to get over it, you have to be restored. And the only way to be restored is to confess to us, not the police, not anyone else.
No.
They don't say that because that's illegal. They just keep it in that context of this is the language under the umbrella. Oh, it's just, it's if you're going to control human beings, this was a masterclass on how to do it and have them completely bought into it. It's just crazy.
Yeah, and that idea of restore is going to produce more offenders because they never, you know, it's something external. The devil tempted them and they just at that moment had a slip that just came out of nowhere. And what we know with, can we say sex offenders?
Say S offenders.
S offenders.
There is a whole thinking process that leads up to it. It doesn't just happen out of nowhere. And so it keeps them from ever being able to examine what is going on in my head that led to this happening, which is why it happens over and over and over again for folks like this.
And that over and over and over again, Siobhan, we were saying yesterday with Bob Mata, can you imagine how attractive this organization is to those S offenders out there that they finally found a home that all they got to do is they can do whatever they want. They'll be rewarded with restoration.
Yes.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh.
Yes.
And they still attract, and yet the organization still exists. It blows your mind.
Yeah.
And that's scary and creepy because you're talking about people who are on the outside of that world, and not a lot of people go into it. I mean, some do, but it's a very closed off world, and a lot of the people inside that world are bred there. Like they are grown and raised, and that is all they absolutely know. And what I'm noticing is the moral failures. There doesn't seem to be, and this is my interpretation of it. They're tone deaf to the weight of wrongs, of things that people do, of offenses, almost as if doing that to a 9-year-old is just as bad as stealing Snickers, you know, from her candy bag at Halloween. Mm-hmm. I mean, a moral failure is me stealing a bag of Skittles from my daughter's dresser. Like that would be she saved her allowance for it. She got it. But I really want that Skittles. And gosh darn it, I got the munchies. I'm going to take your Skittles. That's a moral failure. Yeah. That would be like level 1 moral failure. Level 10 is the allegation of what he admitted to in Florida. Mm-hmm. But when they treat it all as if you're stealing Skittles, the hierarchy, the weight of the offenses, nobody seems to understand the difference in the impact that it makes on someone else. And in no way, shape, or form am I trying to stand up for Joseph Duggar. But if this is the environment that you are raised in and everything is pretty much the same equal weight,
it's got to be difficult as they grow up and they're uneducated. I mean, these people have like a second grade education at the end of the day is what I'm learning. They didn't get a high school diploma. Most of them are not educated. Like, there's like two that have GEDs. The rest, they had the Gothard workbooks. And from insider information we have, the Duggars didn't even teach most of that shit. They basically stopped at second grade from what we understand and what some reporting is saying. And then from there on out, so there are a bunch of frickin' morons at the end of the day. They are. I mean, and it's not their fault, the kids. It's not the kids' fault. I'm not saying Josh is, you know, but their education level is at a, you're talking about second graders. That's why when we heard those phone calls between Kendra and Josh, everybody's like, they sound like 12-year-olds. Yeah, because they essentially, intellectually, they are 12-year-olds.
It's the critical thinking level is what it is, right?
Who shit out kids because we didn't teach them about that either, other than once they're married, it's like, okay, go F like rap. Habits. And when everything is at the same level, that I would think it becomes a breeding ground for predatory behavior in young men, in ways and in more dangerous ways than even in an environment that does instill and teach how wrong that is, because you've taken the whole mechanism out of that equation that says this is horrible. This is really, really, really bad. You will destroy your own life. That will destroy someone else's life. This shouldn't be your instinct to begin with, but if for some freaking reason it is, don't go there. It's not even there. It's not part of the equation. That is a scary thing about this group. Is that why we see more predators come out of environments like this than we do necessarily other ones?
I think so. It's a breeding ground for people with S problems and never having appropriate education about what's normal, what's not normal. Somebody said in the documentary, the girls weren't even allowed to have tampons because that was considered a form of pleasure. I mean, it's just so out of reality.
And violating yourself before your husband does.
Right.
Yeah, I mean, that's what they said, yeah.
Yeah.
My God.
Yeah. They did not, the kids had absolutely no sense of what normal was. And I have a friend who wrote a book, it's not a secret at all, but about being raised in it, not a cult, not to this degree, but a very religious home, where there were no boundaries. And dad, until she was 16, 17 years old, would come in and have long conversations with her while she was taking a bath and just sat not right next to her in the bathtub. And guess what happened? Severe SA for years by older brother. And you get these families where people are not given a sense of what's normal and what's not okay. No boundaries and no insight. And yeah, she wrote, grew up, got away from all of them, went to therapy and wrote a book about it. So,
and according to Jill Duggar's book, we keep skipping over some of this sometimes, is no matter what the boys do with their moral failings, they blame it on the girl being too enticing. They're revealing too much. They still keep victim blaming and they're letting the guys off. All you got to do is confess and you're restored. And it was all the girl's fault all along anyway. That's just a great system, man.
Yeah. And the girls are not allowed to be angry. They're not allowed to have feelings about it. So it's repress, repress, repress. Which, you know, when people have to live that way, they're going to have psychological problems down the road.
And that's why you see, you know, you listen to the jailhouse calls between Joseph and Kendra, and she's got the nice voice on all this, and she's telling him how she's had to have multiple transfusions.
IVs.
IVs. She's had multiple IVs. She can't eat. She can't sleep. She's losing weight, but she's still got the nice voice on because she's completely falling apart.
Yeah.
And he's reading Psalms.
Yeah, and he's like, well, just read the Psalms. Just read more Bible. I like this version of Bible, which is also kind of striking. So, you know, Siobhan, did you find that in your experience that I found this shocking was they're using Christianity, their selective version of it, in all they're doing to maintain this control. Yet I was really kind of shocked at Joseph's and Kendra's lack of knowledge of the Bible until he was thrown into prison with nothing else to do. Is that common?
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, it's all in the Bible has so much in it and so many diverse kinds of things. You compare the Old Testament to the New Testament and Psalms to Leviticus. I mean, it's a real mishmash that's all over the place. And people can be very selective in what they choose to focus on. And you know, they choose to focus on things that serve them in the moment or reinforce their biases or their anger, or, you know, sometimes God is the angry, vengeful God who's going to punish everybody. Sometimes it's Jesus with the Sermon on the Mount, and people will very selectively go to whatever it is that, you know, meets their needs.
I know there are people near the Duggar clan that know the Duggar clan, that communicate with the Duggar clan, that watch this program. Get Kendra this book.
Yeah.
Seriously.
That's a great idea. That's get a very good idea.
Get her this book. Put a different cover over it so nobody catches her reading it. Get her that book. If you were to say something to Kendra right now, Siobhan, having been someone who escaped religiosity and that sort of a mindset and that sort of a an upbringing and a family life and all that, and the outside world is, you know, evil and all that, where she's sitting right now trying to figure out what the hell to do. She's got four kids that, you know, with the Duggars. She's got the Duggars that are sitting there love bombing her right now, saying, you know, we're going to take care of you. We're going to do this. Go stay with one of the 19 kids that we shit out. And the kids are taking, it'll be okay. It'll be, you know, they're very much closing the wagons and hoping to God she doesn't escape and doesn't spill the beans on everything that she knows within their group. What would you tell her? I mean, as far as, I mean, because there's a lot of fear right now, I'm sure, of not wanting to get out, of a fear of what's going to happen if you get out, that it's the end of the world, that, oh my gosh, Jim Bob's going to remove his umbrella of help and authority, and there's probably an NDA involved somewhere in there, and he's probably going to try and get you for taxes. There's gazillions of attorneys around here that could easily shut Jim Bob down in a second. But so what would you say to alleviate that fear, that concern? Because if she walks away from them, I mean, she has her family to go back to, hopefully. I'm sure they would lovingly take her back. But she would be walking away from the Duggars and the coercive control and whatever bullshit they're spewing at her right now in terms of trying to keep her in the fold. What would you say from your experience?
You know, she needs a safe person or a safe place or safe friends where she can talk about her fears and her feelings and to be encouraged to speak things that when she's in the religious group, it's just not allowed to have those questions. You're not allowed to speak. And the more people can feel like they have support to open up, to sit with reality, to express their pain, you know, because the other thing about these groups, you're not allowed to have pain. You know, you've got to be smiley happy. You've got to be joyful. You've got to be praising God all the time. Well, that's not, can't be what she's experiencing legitimately internally. And so I think even one person who can be safe, you know, without criticizing her, but just encouraging the floodgate to open, I think that would be the best therapy there is. And of course I'd say go to therapy, but you know, that's not where everybody's at.
Get out first.
You know, if you're afraid to say something and to talk, you're in the wrong place.
Exactly.
I think that's just really the baseline. And even you might not want to hear what your dad tells you. He's going to let you talk if this is the case in her case. But someone, anyone, a mother, a sister, a friend, like Siobhan says, if you don't feel safe to share, you are in the wrong place.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Very much.
Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube as we continue to work through the nightmare that is the Duggars counting the charges. Michelle Duggar
That's mom. That's, you know, the matriarch, Jim Bob's wife. You've seen her in the show. She's the one who talks like this and is always joyful and always happy and, you know, somewhat seemingly scarily delusional, like the person you don't want to be alone in the dark with if she happened to have a weapon near her, because you never know what the hell's going to happen. Because she scares me. I mean, she does. I mean, that level of happiness, that level of, I'm just always covering. I mean, there's a creepiness to it, but I know that's what they teach. It's this the joyful bullshit, whatever they call it.
Toxic positivity.
Yeah. It's a scary thing. And it's, I'm trying to understand. We were talking in our last segment about Kendra. We were talking about some of the stuff in IVLP. And if you're raised in it and it's all you know, it is all you know. She was not raised in IVLP, Michelle Duggar. She had a different life before. She was loud. She was rowdy. Her friends have accounted to that. Her former friends have accounted to how she was before she met Jim Bob. She knew going in that there was a different world around her, and she chose to make this one hers, the one that essentially is, in all, for all intents and purposes, coercive control from the top, and then chose to raise her children in it, in a world where things like you were saying, women's, you know, hygiene, feminine products are frowned upon because it's viewed as it's violate. I mean, it's insane. Mm-hmm. And I get it if that's all you know, and you know no outside world. I don't get it from someone who knows another world that would somehow do the mental gymnastics to tell themselves this is a better way to live. And let's bring a bunch of kids into it. Let's bring 19 more folks into this way of living, because this just seems so gosh darn great. And you're not even able to parent your children. You got 19. They had a system of where the kids parented the kids, and then they weren't educated. I mean, it's just insanity. Mm-hmm. I mean, and maybe that's the answer. I mean, what I get that's what I'm trying to wrap my mind around is how does a mother function this way, knowing this weird environment and knowing an outside world that she's raising her children and she knows her son is a predator. They bring him back into the house and everybody's supposed to be A-okay and nobody can talk about it because you didn't remember it anyhow. Remember, you were sleeping and it was over the clothes, so it's not that big of a deal. All the rationalization, mm-hmm. all the shit, all the
doesn't
betrayal.
Matter. He's restored. He's restored now.
Yes, the betrayal of a mother to her children is what I'm looking at. That's a hard one to square up for me. And yet, you know, we saw her just the other week, just last week. Somebody was outside her house and she's got her camera. You can't be here. You shouldn't be on this property. Just what's going on in that brain? What the hell is going on in that brain?
Yeah, the power of cults. You know, people can get sucked into all kinds of bizarre cults where scary, awful things happen. And it's a powerful dynamic, you know. There are some people that just specialize in the psychology of cults, you know, and I've always felt like, well, I can kind of wrap my head around that one pretty much. And even though she was a very different person before and didn't come out of a cult, it fit for her for some reason. And one of the things that struck me in learning more and more about these people, there's a sadistic element in the way that they raise their kids, that blanket training, hitting the baby. Yeah. We're going to smack the kids or spank the kids until they submit. And so the kids, and then there was that other one, which I got as a kid, you know, I'm going to spank you until you stop crying. It's like, okay,
works.
How does that work in the human nervous system? Right.
Yeah.
And so people have a dark side, I think, who could parent their kids that way. And it's
where does that stem from? Is that like a weird sadomasochistic? And I have no idea what her upbringing was, so I'm not saying anything about that. But I mean, is it like I was abused and I survived it, so you should too? That made me who I am. And you know, if you're going to be a strong person, you need to get some grit. I mean, I'm not saying that this is how anyone should be thinking, but I'm wondering if that is how the Legos are being connected.
Yeah, I think so. Somebody mentioned the authoritarian parenting style. And that's found in a lot of homes, even among people who are not in cults and not religious, although I would say in this case it was an extreme. But it may have felt natural to her, you know, that it's okay to hit infants. I mean, that's I think it's sadism. And to talk about that with a smile on your face and call that good parenting, it's child abuse. And it could very well be that people who were raised with harsh authoritarian parents grow up and they normalize it and they think that that's good parenting.
Because they taught it on stage. I mean, they showed it in the Shiny Happy People special. They taught it on stage at their big groups. Because here's the cycle that they do here in every single situation. Suffering is an opportunity for restoration, and then you have an opportunity for ministry. And then if you are suffering and you are reformed and redeemed and you go into ministry, well, then you're rewarded by love bombing and gifts. So that's their cycle. And they use all those kind, nice words. But it's like, I mean, we keep seeing it again and again. It's like they seek out the opportunity to be ass so they can be redeemed and then do ministry about it. It's just, it's a self-perpetuating cycle of nutters.
It's real. And here's the thing. We wouldn't be talking about the Damn Duggars if a good chunk of our country in the early 2000s didn't watch that show and go, oh, aren't these lovely folks?
Yeah.
I mean, we wouldn't be talking about Ruby Frankie had not hundreds or millions of people subscribed to her YouTube channel and go, oh, isn't she a great parent? I really subscribe to that. It's like these religious nutterers have, they justify their shitty parenting by sprinkling a little God on top. If we just sprinkle a little Jesus powder, everything's going to be great. You'll see. That seems to be how it is, because in both cases, both of these women amassed massive followings by shitty parents who basically said, well, look, they're doing it on screen and they're mixing God into the mix. I guess it is okay to be a horrible parent and have the older kids raise the kids and hit them with spoons while they're on with their babies on mats. I mean, they're doing it. They're getting results, aren't they? And and it's almost like there's a group collective mentality to this. I mean, that's how I get you the cult going of, oh, out shittying each other.
Well, it's an easy route. It's easy for them.
Yes. And rather than anybody saying, maybe we should do better, it's like, no, let's keep going down the shit road. It works for all of us, and we're all telling each other that this is great, and we won't see the immediate repercussions. That's going to take till they get to be their teen years or 20 years and start doing horrible things to other children and destroying their lives. But right now, they're staying on the blanket, and that's all that matters.
Yeah, I think people are desperate for fixes, easy fixes. And when they, you know, see things like this, some people are just naive and suggestible and they fall for the smiley faces and the formulas. And again, we go back to critical thinking. You know, stop and pause. The first time I saw one of Ruby Frankie's videos, and this is after she'd already gotten in trouble, I was just cringing at the way she was parenting and talking to her kids. I mean, it just made me cringe. And I'm like, are there that many ignorant people out there who think this is good? And scarily, apparently so.
You know, Siobhan, you really hit it right there. And that is raising happy, healthy children that are going to go through life and develop at a good, healthy stage, you know, Erickson's, you know, developmental models, you know, and arrive in adulthood with healthy relationships, knowing how to communicate, know how to function and be self-reliant. It takes work, effort. Yeah. Every child's different. Every communication style is different. And parenting is not an easy chore. It takes time, effort, energy, lots of bandwidth. And so watching shows like this makes it seem like, oh, I had it all wrong. It actually is easy. You just got to be a complete idiot. You got to be a sadomasochist. You got to do all these things. And so half the country, I think, is, or half the viewers were looking for the easy fix, like you said. And the other half of us are watching the, like watching NASCAR, waiting for the wreck to happen because you know it's going to happen at some point because these people are crazy.
I mean, what kind of toxic narcissistic thinking is it that the more children one shits out, the better they're, the closer they're going to be to God. You're not having children at that point for the right reason. You're not doing it because you want to, you know, because you feel you're a good parent and you can provide a good, stable household and create a great, loving human being as a contributor to society that you can enrich their life and they can enrich yours, and you can have a wonderful relationship and have a best friend and a child and a partner in life until you die. That's what a good parent thinks when they have mm-hmm. children. Mm-hmm. When you're doing it to basically put another tally on the mark of God and your performance calendar, there's something wrong with you. You're not doing this for the right reason, and it's a very bizarre way of thinking. It's narcissistic childbearing, really. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So yeah. I'm going to add something before you go to Siobhan. Because if you look at what they were trying to do and what they talked about in the special and reading the books, it wasn't just about religiosity to them. It was actually about creating, because when you have that many kids, what are they trying to do? They're trying to grow their own culture.
Yeah, they're trying to
be politically active as well. They kept running mm-hmm. for office. So they're actually mm-hmm. trying to create their own society and then take over the country with that society. And I'll tell you, we saw exactly the same thing in Germany in the 1930s.
Yeah. Is this kind of eugenic-y?
Mm-hmm. Yes, the Hitler Youth program was doing the exact same thing. One of the reasons why the German war machine was so effective so fast is because they groomed them from young boys. They put them right in the program, and so by the time they hit 18, they are ready. There was no training needed. It was already there. That's exactly what's going on with this group. Not saying it's militant, although they do have a militant branch of it.
It is. Yeah, I mean, well, it's the what is it? The Joseph, or what is it? The something generation. Joshua generation. Yeah, is what they were calling it. Yeah,
mm-hmm. Fascinating, isn't it? History repeats.
Yeah, yeah. Sorry, goal. No, finger. That's fine. Goal to take over the world, really, and that is the goal. We want more of us than you know. We want God's people, which is not God's people, but their version of God's people. We want to rule, and we want everybody to be under their authority. And so, the more kids that they put at, I mean, it's ridiculous. Because as so many people have said, you can't give birth to 19 children and care for each one of those children. You know, they blend into this big group. They're not individuals. Mm-hmm. You can't meet their individual needs. It's impossible. You've got the older kids parenting the babies, and it's insidious. And for that to be framed as a virtue is the ultimate cognitive distortion.
When you pack it up real nicely and present it as a fun family safe show on TLC for a decade, nobody looks. I mean, it's funny. Nobody looks at the 19 kids and counting, or they didn't, you know, when it was airing, and go, oh, these people are trying to take over the world. Surprise. Mm-hmm. Surprise. Mm-hmm. They were. Mm-hmm. Your thoughts in the comment section on Substack and YouTube, please weigh in there. We'd love to get your thoughts. And like I said, Siobhan's book, Nightbird. Kendra Duggar, read this. Get this. Read this. It could be a guide or just something that'll show you you're not alone. Other people have survived and gone on to live very happy and successful and fulfilling lives that help other people escape the utter shit show that you're in right now.
100%.
There's a lot of grace out there for you. You have to take it or choose to become one of them. The choice is yours. Robin's book, It's Not All About Me. It's available right now. Check that out wherever books are sold.
Send that to Joseph.
Exactly. Yeah. One for Whammy. A cell. Basically, yes. Either get this book and read it, or you will end up in a cell like your husband.
I've actually been thinking about that, send it directly from my publisher, sending one to Lori Day Belvallo, sending one to the Duggars.
We should. we should see if we get any replies. Maybe we'll get a flash drive like Knight Eaton did of Lori's shit.
They need it.
Yeah. Anyway, your thoughts in the comments section on Substack and YouTube. We'll continue the conversation there. Until next time, for Siobhan and Robert and Todd, I'm Tony Bruschi. We'll talk again real soon.
Want more on this case and others? Then press subscribe now and don't miss a moment of true crime coverage from Tony Bruschi and the Hidden Killers podcast.
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Menards is your one-stop shop for all your summer essentials. Whether you're stocking up on everyone's favorite snacks, making a patio perfect for entertaining family and friends, or getting ready to gather around the grill, Menards has everything you need for your get-togethers all summer long. Save big money now at Menards. Plus, don't forget to check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for all the great deals happening now.
Save big money at
Here's golf legend John Daly.
Hell yeah, these wins are piling up faster than my divorces.
I only spent on Moto, America's social casino. You know I've won a couple of majors. And on Moto, I've won majors, grands, and epic jackpots on their classic Vegas slots with huge, huge bonus rounds. Moto Casino adds new games and awards players free coins every single day. Grip it and spin it on Moto Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Nobody does it better than Regent Seven Seas Cruises. Enjoy all-inclusive, unrivaled luxury with unlimited shore excursions, indulgent cuisine, personalized service, and more aboard spacious all-suite ships. Visit rssc.com to experience the unrivaled.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Moto Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino. America's social casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Every dating app swipe is another loss. Gym bros, fake CEOs, straight up losers. So now the only app I open is Moto Casino, because at least there I'm surrounded by winners, real winners, thousands of them. While everyone else is in the single swamp, I'm at home relaxing while stacking bonuses, hitting wins, and playing all my favorite Vegas style games. Moto Casino, the only app worth your time.
Moto Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Moto.us for more details. Download the Moto Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Moto Casino, America's social casino.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Moto Casino,
America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends, with thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino. America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
Moto Casino, America's Social Casino.
Welcome to Moto Casino, where the excitement never ends. With thousands of the hottest free-to-play social casino games, fastest payouts, and the best promotions in the industry. No tricks or gimmicks. Owned and operated in the USA.
Moto Casino is a free-to-play social casino. No purchase necessary. 21 plus to play. Void where prohibited.
Sign up today for a generous welcome bonus.
Moto Casino, America's Social Casino.
Download the Moto Casino app today.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.